Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very talented journalist, activist, stand-up comedian. She hosted and was the head writer for Newsbroke on Al Jazeera, has hosted specials on MSNBC, is a regular contributor to The Young Turks. You can see her and hear her on the very funny and informative podcast, The Bituation Room, and on stand-up stages everywhere where she has recently been performing, just all the way pregnant. Very pregnant. Please welcome the hilarious and talented Francesca Fiorentini.
Hey. AKA, I have an AKA for the first time. AKA MILF does a body good. AKA prego my ego.
Hey.
Oh my God.
MILF does a body good. There
yeah.
You go.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And other things, other jingles from the late 80s. Whatever you want, let's do it. I realize, like, well, now I have an identity. It is mother.
Yes.
Yay.
I'm a mama bear. And when I get mama bear status, it's watch out.
Well, I'm changing all my bios.
Watch
suddenly
out.
It's gonna be mom, American flag, yeah, lover of Christ. I don't even know who that dude is, but I love him.
Yeah. Oh man, that is
fantastic.
What a time. You get to choose your mom persona here in a couple weeks. Will you be wine mom? Will you be pot mom? Will you be, you know, mm-hmm, all of
you
the
can
above?
Be, you don't all deserve to be tired mom.
I
want to
be
well.
Acid mom.
Acid Ooh. Mom is Hell underrated, yeah, but
wow,
very cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, very good at getting you down on the level of your children, I'm
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. How am I supposed to endure, like, endless coloring or reading the exact same book 12 times to get them to sleep if I'm not on acid?
Yeah, babies are very egoless. Might as well destroy your own ego. Get down there with them and be amazed at everything you see.
Yeah.
You know, that
I'm learning. Like, we're learning together.
It's like such a stereotypical like stoner like thought that you have in college when you get high for the first time. But when it's also a thought you have when you're a parent and there's just a lot of downtime to think all the thoughts. But I just remember being like, I bet what they're seeing is very similar. Like the experience of being a baby and seeing everything new for the first time is very similar to, you know, being on psychedelics of some sort.
Yes.
Just being like. And then they say the most high shit you've ever heard. Once
you ever
they can
really
talk.
Look at your hands, bro?
Yeah, for real. How do my bones move me was one of the things that one of my kids said to me, like, one, like very early on in his ability to speak. I was like, what the fuck?
Wow.
Where does that thought come in?
The one thing when you get too high is like, how do I know when to breathe? That's always a fun one.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit.
Oh,
dude.
No. Oh, boy.
It's bad.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I was not good on pot. I was very, very not good,
good
on
pot.
That's my other AK. Not good on pot. What is something from your search history?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I was searching this morning. I'm not sure if you guys are into like meditation. I'm a pretty big connoisseur of that kind of stuff.
Yeah
mindfulness, all that kind of stuff. So I'm always looking
meditation.
For... Of course. So I'm looking for like a way to kind of go above and beyond always, right? So I was listening to a podcast this morning and this dude was like really selling this device that he uses that apparently puts him in like another world. And I looked it up. It's called the
Acid.
Soma Dome.
Oh.
And it's kind of like, you ever seen those flotation things where people like sit in salt water and like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is like, I guess, installed in your house and it's like a little dome and it's got like speakers and lights and shit. And it's supposed to give you like, the ultimate, like, you know, just being present in your head meditation-wise. So he was talking about...
I saw that thing. That's like a futuristic bobsled, right?
Right.
Almost looks like...
Exactly. That's such a good way to... Oh, my God, yeah. A futuristic bobsled with a hood over. That's literally
what
it is.
Yeah, with a rave built in.
Exactly. So I was like, all right, let me look into this whole thing. And as I'm, like, researching, I hear him go, yeah, I mean, I dropped 25K on it. And I was just like, all right, close let me close
and
out the old Safari
out.
Search. It's, it's back to turning off the lights and looking at Headspace. You're listening to Headspace on my Spotify playlist.
Not only do you close the tab, but you have to erase the cookies so that Amazon and, you know, the algorithm doesn't start sending shit about $25,000.
They've made a broke boy version.
Oh, really?
Soma Home. Yeah, and it looks like a fucking, like, a little collapsing camping chair you'd bring to a Little League game or, like, a AYSO game and with, like, a light flap on top. It looks like the low-budget, like, brother of Soma Dome.
See, I love that. And it's like if somebody breaks into your house and they see that, they're just going to walk right back out because, like, this broke-ass motherfucker can't even get the real deal.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you got the dome? You got the dome? bro, no, we're good.
Whereas the other one, they'll think it's a time machine.
Right. Yeah.
Or just freak them out. They're like, a mad scientist lives here. I'm not involved with this shit.
Have you guys ever done sensory deprivation?
No, I really want to do that. I haven't.
I did it.
You have? Okay.
But I...
Yeah,
no, you have experience. I'd love to hear yours.
I had built it up in my mind. I talked to a lot of people who are really into meditation. I'm into like getting into meditation ish.
Yeah,
I'm into getting into.
I'm like preparing to be willing to get into getting into.
You're meditation.
I'm
curious.
Doing the prep work to get to be into meditation. So I went and did it, and I think this is a good thing. I'm told this is a good thing, but I closed my eyes, the lights went down, and then it seemed like a split second later, the lights came back on, and they were like, yep, that was 45 minutes, and I guess it was like just the most relaxing sleep, or they were fucking with me, I can't tell which.
They shifted all the clocks and shit.
Right, it's like that Office episode where Michael fell asleep, and they all changed the clocks.
Like, it's five, bro. He's like, oh, all right, get out of here.
Yeah, it was the closest I've come to time travel since drinking and using drugs.
Did you feel like your experience would feel like 4.5 hours? And that was why it was maybe you're a little bit like, oh, shit, time just went rapidly quickly without any
it was just like 45 minutes, but it just went so fast. I thought, I think I had built it up like, okay, this could go one of two ways. It could be like very trippy and like that's supposed to, you're like traveling places in your mind,
right,
is what one thing I've heard. And the other thing I had heard is like you just are in there and you want to get out. Like I've heard about it going badly. I'd never heard someone just be like, yeah, close my eyes and it was over. Like,
yeah.
Right.
I think I built it up in my head a lot too. I thought it was going to be life changing. And then I go and I open the thing and it's got like little like stuff at the bottom of like the water thing. And that just grossed me out because I was thinking, what was the other person that was in here before me? They obviously didn't clean this water. And then the part of me that is like the child of an immigrant who like makes myself feel small is like, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to deal with it, you know? And then
get in my ear.
Right, right. But the first half hour is just me thinking about what it could be and being grossed out by the fact I'm laying in this water. Right.
Yeah.
And then I fell asleep at some point, woke up, and it was kind of a similar thing. I was just kind of like, all right, I guess it was like good sleep. I don't know. It wasn't what I hoped it would be.
Yeah. It was super, super fast. But
yeah,
Zeitgang, let us know what your experience is with sensory deprivation. I've definitely heard from people who like had really trippy experiences. My one friend, Hunter, is like got in there and really got after it. Hunter.
Right. Because you're saying his dad was putting a lot of pressure
on
him.
Yeah, his dad like put a lot of pressure on him. So he said he went in there and had a little party in there. I didn't really exactly know what that meant.
Right. But he left his laptop like at the place, right? And he was like, he went back and he was gone.
Yeah.
What's something you think is overrated, Ellery?
We touched on this earlier. I think fall and winter are overrated.
Go on. Go off. They're in what sense?
They're nice for like a week. I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
But I hate the time change. I hate the darkness. Night coming sooner. Okay. I love summer. And in LA, nobody works during the summer, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has summer Fridays. We're really sort of like a vacation culture. And so I just don't like, I don't know, it's maybe it's like a back to school leftover feeling, but I feel like I'm always chasing summertime. Like by the time it's May, I'm like, yes, we're ready.
We're in it.
Yeah.
We're in it. And then around here, I'm like, sure, the leaves sort of change, but it's not like, I don't know, there's just more debris on the ground. That's really the only difference.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not, Daniel, how do you feel about these colder months?
You know, colder months is almost an exaggeration. We're talking like maybe a 10 to 15 degree drop in temperature at absolute most. And maybe instead of wearing a t-shirt, you wear a long sleeve shirt and God forbid a sweater. I will say,
what do you mean, God forbid? Motherfucker, well, I'll wear a North Face.
That's what I was about to say is that like I look at my closet and I pray to be able to bust out a Letterman jacket or a literally anything.
This is the big West Coast, East Coast divide on this. Because yesterday our guest is a New Yorker and I was talking about, oh, I love the cold. And he's like, basically like, you don't know the cold.
You don't know the cold.
The cold is Disneyland to you. You stop by that motherfucker for a day. You're like,
yeah.
You don't live there where you slowly start losing your mind because you've seen Fantasmic every fucking night three times in a row.
Yeah. Where it's dark at 4 p.m. It's too cold to leave your apartments. It also doesn't get cold in New York the way that it used to when I was a kid. But I remember like, because at my high school, you had to cross the street for like to go between buildings. Mm-hmm. And I remember being so cold that like the earrings would freeze in my ears.
Oh, shit.
Like, or the snot, my nose would have icicles, like painful, like stinging
like Dumb and
your
Dumber?
Skin
That's
cold.
So cool.
Yes,
like the movie,
literally. Well, like
the movie
like
Dumb and Dumber.
So cool. A post-nasal drip that freezes in there.
Horrible.
Just so
really
awful.
Really awful.
Or going outside with wet hair and having your hair freeze.
Would know that. Never. I'm bald, so try another angle. That's a win in my column still, although my bald head would probably freeze.
It's just
but like okay, I could but I keep saying this, and I have to do. I really just need to do like a cultural exchange with someone in like the deep freeze, and be like, look, bro,
yes,
you stay in
but
my
you
spot.
You have to go for like more than a month.
Yeah, like I want to know. Be like, okay, motherfucker, you gonna chop your wood too?
Yeah,
you exactly. Get that stove going. I'll be like, you
that's
know
legitimately
what
we did in my house.
Right.
We had a wood stove.
Yeah, I'm so like my mom grew up in a really cold part of Japan. So like going to certain parts of like really cold winter Japan is the same shit where it's like you got to wake up, keep that fucking stove going in the middle of the night and shit unless you want to wake up to some nonsense.
Frozen with all of your pipes frozen.
Right. And insulation isn't that like big of a thing with like older built homes there, too. So I'm willing. I saw somebody who was like, come out to Winnipeg. I feel like one of Zeit gang was like, okay, fool, come out to Winnipeg. Yeah, see what's up.
Come see
what's
up.
This motherfucker in his picture, like all his shit was frozen on his face. And I'm like, okay, I'm down to try it. I feel like I would just smoke weed all day and be like, wow, look at the snow, man. That shit is cool.
We'll see. Times. Yeah,
we'll see. But yeah, it's the fashion. You know, it's the fashion.
It's the fashions. Honestly, it's I'm not going to lie. It is, again, this is definitely a Disneyland ass take, but I just want to wear the clothes I have.
I just want to wear my Mickey ears.
I just want to wear the Mickey ears and go out. Yeah. And be
that
like,
is like the funniest part about moving out here is that when it hits 65 degrees, people wear Canada Goose down jackets.
Oh, yeah. Fucking scarves and shit. Gloves. I'll never wear gloves. You'll never catch me wearing gloves. Never. That's my God.
Wait until you go to Winnipeg.
Oh, no. That's what I'm saying is that's like my cold water, like my cold weather Rubicon. I will not cross in L.A., which is to put gloves on. I'm like, that's not unless I'm riding a bike and it's really cold. Fine. Like, I'll do that to keep my hands warm. But it's the East Coast or places with actual winter. Mm. The gloves do come out.
Amen. Amen.
But yeah, I have to keep harping on fashions. All it took was a New Yorker to be like, damn, he's like, you look like a New Yorker. When I was in New York during the winter, and I was like, oh my God.
Okay.
All of a sudden the Tims just emerged onto my feet.
Yeah, I had tearaway shoes that revealed Tims underneath.
That's so funny.
And then shook ones started playing out of my fucking speakerphone.
Yankee fitted just emerging from the forehead.
Sticker still on.
Always.
Oh,
always.
my head turns to a Yankee fitted. What is something you think is underrated?
People who were raised well.
Hmm. Okay. Now what that means?
You know, there are some human beings that you are just like, oh, it is so refreshing to know that you were raised well. Like, you're kind, you have emotional intelligence, you know, like you mind your business where you should, you know, like you're inclusive. You're still fun, but you know that your parents raised you well, their parents raised them well, rather. Mm-hmm. That's so underrated. Like, I find that, you know, human beings in this world, oftentimes we just don't give enough props to the people who were truly raised well, and they're moving through life, and you're like, you're a kind human being. Ah, love to see it.
Damn. Like, yeah, they're like, they did all right with you, huh?
Yes. Yes. I mean, you know, parenting is literally like a guessing game. I feel like it does. We'll try to figure it out with the soul that we have.
Right.
And, you know, I'm like, good job. Shout out to your parents.
What's the quality that you appreciate most when you throw somebody in the column of raised well? Like, what's the most potent quality for you? Like, oh man, I love that.
I love politeness and human kindness. Like, there, sometimes I will meet a child. Great. Like, I don't know, like through their parents or whatever, but like a child that is kind, I'm like, you're going to turn out to be raised well. Like, you're going to grow up to be a good one.
Or
like,
you are a sociopath and you're figuring it out.
No.
Look, see, I'm always on edge. I'm like, why is this kid smart? Or are they the fucking next fucking who knows what? But that's just my own trust issues, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because I'm like, no, you know, the little ones, they're like, okay.
Yeah.
But I would say, and, you know, I've had this conversation at length, a human being that is raised well, that you just know is raised well, and I have not met him, but I know he's raised well, Keanu Reeves. Like, he's probably one of those people that you're like, I know he's raised well. Like, you could just tell.
I feel that. Yeah. Like, well, I think there's two ways, right, to arrive there. You can be raised well, or you can see enough bullshit that you end up figuring it out and you're like, I actually ended up like this because I saw so much shit. I figured it out pretty quickly that this was probably the way to actually exist rather than in the chaos I witnessed. So I definitely, the wisdom is either way. It's either coming from the parents or it's coming from your life. But I do like when you meet people that arrive there, I know what you mean. Like, you can feel it like, okay, you got something good going on.
I think wisdom like that is deeply, deeply underrated. Being able to see something and learn from it. It's not simply my experience. It's my experience. It's I see something. You're like, actually, you know what? I think that's something that I could take on. And that's a trait that I need to practice more in my own daily life. And that kind of wisdom, very, very underrated. So yeah. I see that 100%.
Right. I think, yeah, just be somebody who pursues wisdom, right? Because so much of our lives, we go through a lot of shit. Yeah. It's easy to be like, I'm not thinking with that. I'm not thinking about that. I don't want to deal with that right now. And we push it away and try and like go on like automation mode and like let shit just simmer in the back. But really, You want to be able to confront those moments, feel the totality of what you're experiencing as a person. Because the more you sit with a thought like that, I was just, you know, I've had to grieve a lot of people over the last couple of years, is, you know, like even when you think about like loss, right? And you're like, I don't want to fucking deal with this. It's just too heavy or whatever. But a lot of the pain you feel is because it's the love that you feel for that person and the love, exactly, you know, this person has had for you. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that, you know, is being able, rather than running away from that, is to try and sit and feel the grief and tell yourself it's going to be okay. But also remind yourself that it's the love that's there that you're really feeling. That's what you're running away from. And try and evolve your thinking around it. So rather than a topic you go, I don't want to think about it, it's too sad, you can think about it, be like, damn, I love that person and they love me. And that's what I get when, amen, I think about it.
I think it's also too just the fear that you won't have that again, right? Yeah. Like there's, yeah, a little bit of that in the grieving process, just kind of being like, oh no, will I ever, you know, be able to love like this again in this capacity? So
yeah,
right, sitting, I do think you're right. We just have to kind of sit in it and also just remember the good times you did have. Like,
yeah. Of all your feelings, but, you know, because that's, yeah, where the wisdom's at. The wisdom, people run away from opportunities to accept the wisdom, but that's part of it. But yes, I love that point. And if you're somebody who's walking around like a decent human being, shout the fuck out to
you.
Yes.
Less generational wealth, more generational mental health.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Come on, the truth. Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk some weird shit.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge.
You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And yeah, this isn't like that. This is more of a placeholder to be like, but we will be coming back to this one if the Republicans win the House, which I still feel like they're going to win.
Projections look that way.
Yeah, the projections are saying like it's swinging Democrat, but
it's still like 212 to 223 or something. It was like 226 a month ago. So like at this pace, like if they're losing maybe three seats a month, like in the projections, they would still probably stand to win the House.
Yeah. And if they win the House, man, if you thought politics was frustratingly cynical before, like wait until the Republican House starts launching impeachment inquiries into Joe Biden, starts launching investigations into the January 6th committee, like just weaponizing every weapon that has been used to, you know, in many cases, try to hold Donald Trump accountable for, you know, trying to barter like weapons for political secrets in the in the case of the impeachment that actually went through. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like they're going to be trying to impeach Biden on like the Hunter laptop. Who knows what else? Maybe Afghanistan has been mentioned and his handling of that. So we might have another Benghazi. I mean, I mean, certainly
woke Afghanistan gas prices. We remember that segment
right. Yeah.
Newsmax where they helped us realize.
Yeah. And like that's the other thing is that so they're impeaching him about Afghanistan. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, he fucked that up. Like a lot of the stuff he did there was terrible. But like that is, I have to think that's part of the strategy is like, okay, you're gonna defend this guy and like that's such a distraction, such a drain on just the genuine political energy that people have to like see some things change.
Yeah, if part of me thinks like this is just them trying to figure out what to say, like it's all about chumming the waters for the like for their base, right?
Got it.
Like we've seen a few different attempts like just constantly backfire.
Right.
So then maybe they're like, okay, what if we get back into revenge mode? Maybe revenge mode will get them out the seats again.
Yeah.
But I don't know if revenge mode will. Like right now, there was a new poll that said his support like went down like 20 points recently among Republicans. So I don't know. Like there's clearly whatever the polling says or doesn't say, there's clearly like an enthusiasm gap that they're trying to address. And they're like their normal tools of being just inhumane to people who are trying to look for a better life or going after trans people or whatever isn't moving the needle enough. So I think that's what it feels like. Remember, like, I think they're like just like Democrats are like, hey, y'all, if we, you know, get the Senate, like we will then give a fuck about, you know, abortion access this time. Right. We swear
this time. Yeah.
Because everybody's got to paint a picture of what happens. Ooh, when we win, honey, look, what's going to come. And I think for them, they've tried all these other things like we are going to fucking, you know, just completely mistreat human beings. Or they're like, OK, how about we go after Biden's ass? That's what it feels like. But either way, I definitely believe them when they say that.
Yeah, right. When do we reach like peak crazy, though? Right. Like, because this has to tip at some point. And every time you think, all right, like there's no way his base is going to go along with this, like these asinine stories they're making up or trying to defend this, there's always another excuse. There's always another crazy person trying to do something. I just wonder, like, when does the crazy get too crazy for, like, even the majority crazies that follow the MAGA party almost, you know?
I don't know. I feel like right now it's more like that the optics are so blunt and so plainly fucked up looking that they're like, oh, okay. Because, like, there was somebody went on George Stephanopoulos' show. I forget which. I think it was Barrasso, Senator Barrasso. And he was trying to, like, Stephanopoulos was like, fam, you know you can't just declassify shit with your mind. You know that. Like, you know better, fool. And he's like, well, I don't, like, he was like, and, like, Stephanopoulos started to laugh, basically laughing at this dude. And he's like, yeah, maybe you're right. Like, it's clear that there's, like, even, like, the Hannity thing, when he had that terrible interview with Hannity, even, like, Hannity was like, well, like, isn't there video of the FBI planning shit? If you, like, are saying they're planning shit. And he's like, I don't know. Like,
no, I think it happened in the House anyway. Yeah, not like, having it in a room anyways, moving on. I feel like the instinct to be like, they're going to figure, like, eventually this is going to hit a bottom and they will bounce back. Mm. That, to this point, has not served me well. Mm. I feel like I was asking that question 3 years ago, you know, and they, now we have Trump giving a speech with like dramatic music behind him as they give him the one, the QAnon where we go one, we go all salute. Like that feels like it would have seemed beyond like what anybody would go along with a while back.
Right.
I guess QAnon seemed like it was beyond what people would go along with a while back. But QAnon, you know what, it keeps going.
They're like going, it's like they're going through records at a record store. They're like, okay, what about xenophobia? They're like, okay, that one's not hitting. Like they're DJing this shit. Okay, fuck, switch it up. Oh, I got this new white label from QAnon. Oh, I hope y'all ready for this. They haven't been playing in one club out here. And recently at the North Carolina rally, people that were officials with the Trump rally, they were stopping people from doing the QAnon salute.
Right. Mm.
So clearly from even the Trump side, they're like, bro, no. Like, that's a bridge too far, even for like what they call, quote unquote, normal Republicans.
Right.
Like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
That they're constantly like, you're the flip flopping. It's they're just in this very, very wild phase. That's why I'm like curious. Right. Like, I do want to play this clip of Kevin McCarthy, because just like we're talking about this, like painting a vision of what it looks like when the Republicans take the House. This is like one of the main, this soundbite of him, of Kevin McCarthy on Fox News, just sums up just how bizarre they think, like what motivates people to vote for them. So just listen to this about why you're going to be loving a fucking Republican controlled House.
Hold the law. We will secure our borders so your kids won't have to fear wondering that they're buying fentanyl and are going to OD.
Huh? Hold on. Okay, I'm sorry, Kevin. I think I misheard you. What was that again?
We will secure our borders. Uh-huh.
Okay, so you secure the border. Okay, so no more brown people. Okay, I'm with that. What those
so your kids won't have to fear wondering that they're buying fentanyl and are going to OD.
Oh, I don't know how many of the homies are buying fentanyl. Unless you, like, have terrible pain and, like, you know, like, you don't have the health insurance. Maybe you're using it like that. Or, again, they...
Wondering... They keep, if there, so he, that is a blind swipe. Well, maybe
so now you're with drug use.
Look, we're gonna get, we're gonna allow that your kids are doing drugs, but they're gonna be clean drugs. They're gonna be the best, the purest.
That's pretty progressive, actually. So
you're criminalizing them? Progressive. I didn't even know that was gonna work with the Republican base.
I'm sorry, I don't think through things. I'm just word salading talking points. I said border fentanyl safe.
Right. So you could save your kids could safely feed their coke habit and not have to worry about this fentanyl coming from over the border.
And maybe that's what he does or doesn't mean, but it's just wild. Like, because like you're saying, if they win in the House, they're not going to advance a single fucking bill that would help anybody. If anything, they're going to try and dismantle any progress that's been made, because that's the whole thing. The lack of forward progress is exactly what Republicans need, because the less progress there is, the more people that are on the edge. And the more people that are on the edge, the more susceptible they are to their autocratic bullshit. And they need that. They can't have people that are supported or people who are like getting in touch with their like worker power and shit like that. That's completely antithetical to like the sort of environment they need to sort of, you know, swoop in and get all these votes that they think they can get. And it's just wild watching their whole platform is just basically shift. Like, it's watching them kind of deal with this shift in, like, the racial status quo or, like, of just, like, white male dominance. Because that's everything that's, like, it's a reaction to all of this. And it's, like, I'm trying to figure out what phase of, like, the Kubler-Ross grief cycle they're in. Like, we're definitely past denial. That may have been, 5 years ago or something.
They're and stuck then, on anger.
Yeah, like, we're fully in anger mode. We are fully in anger mode. Like, of all this shit, like, you know, think of any time you felt wronged. Like, you first, you're like, nah, it's not that bad. And then you start going, man, you know what? If only this motherfucker did this, or if only this shit happened, if only these people weren't in the way. That's what all their legislation looks like. It's just going outward and being like, fuck all these, just putting everybody, like, just they're on attack mode. And I mean, if Americans are smart enough and their numbers decrease, you know, in elected office, maybe we'll see them start bargaining in a weird way, or maybe they're bargaining now, you know, because right now they're like, oh shit, xenophobia's not working. Oh shit, QAnon, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Who do I got to embrace now? But yeah, it's just wild to watch it, you know, because at the end of the day, all they want is to watch people suffer.
Yeah, it's scary to think there's no like logical end in sight, because I think you've dismantled the idea of like thinking rationally, right? So like, you've basically programmed them to say anything that is brought out there is a conspiracy theory, right? So, you know, Bill Gates is behind everything that's happening, and this is behind this, right? And so where do you end at that point? Because to me, even one thing I might have thought for a while, be like, okay, well, if Donald Trump gets like the charges come up and he gets, you know, held to justice for any of the things that he's done, and there's solid proof, and maybe that'll kind of begin to like settle things. But that might actually make things even worse, because these people might then be even more angry and feel like they, you know, have to quote unquote save this country, and things get even crazier, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to wrap my head around, like, what does the end of this really scary story we're living in, you know, look like? Yeah.
I mean, there is a logic where with, you know, they're doubling down on a non-functioning society, the non-functioning, you know, civilization that we have right now. And the primary like symptoms of that is, you know, profound spiritual emptiness and deep, deep loneliness. And drugs is one of the most popular ways of dealing with that. So maybe they're going to just be like, we're the drugs party, man. We're going to make sure your drugs are clean, like
ain't
Soma
no
all the
here,
way.
Bro.
Yeah, just like Brave New World it. Like if wow, Republicans like, did that, that would actually...
they're like, yo, man, can you get stuff, some drugs for this weekend? They're like, yeah, I got the homie Tucker, bro. Out in Connecticut, bro, his shit fire.
Oh, and for
safe,
sure.
And safe. Yeah. You know, they don't fuck around, those conservative drug dealers.
Yeah, that's the, your kids doing drugs with fentanyl, and it is like the they are so desperate for a, you know, the immigration situation to like affect them negatively in some way that they're just reaching. They're like, your kids, man, I mean, they when they go to cut up a line, you know?
Yeah. Like, whoa, what?
Like, speaking to the base of, you know, other senators and
the
other,
free base.
Other House members.
Yeah. But like, again, like this is just sort of fits in too with like DeSantis's Martha's Vineyard, you know, human circus.
Right.
In his mind, he's like, okay, I get it. The playbook is cruelty. I get it. That's what every Republican knows. The playbook is fucking cruelty right now. Mm-hmm. And so again, it was no surprise when he's taking living human beings as like pawns in like a IRL shit post, like when he rounded up migrants under like this, like the false pretenses and flying them to Martha's Vineyard. And his hope, like, you know, you could tell what his idea was, because basically Tucker Carlson like just completely messaged this like a month or two ago to him, being like, and what if the migrants went to Martha's Vineyard? I'm sure the liberal elites there would surely at that point would have to deal with the reality, because they're so far away from the southern border, etc. So they show up there, and he was probably thinking that these people would be like, ah, gross, get them out. I'm sure maybe some people were, but on the other hand, there were other people who were like, holy shit, what happened? This fool just what? And they just dumped you here? Do you know anybody here? No? Okay, you do have a place to stay? Well, shit, here's food. Well, you don't got shit? And now he's looking at multiple investigations of like lawsuits, and this whole stunt is really beginning to look like now like a $1.6 million tax funded event. And this is now, it's not only pissed off like Hispanic voters in Florida and just around the country, he's also upset like fellow trash governor homie Greg Abbott, because DeSantis, as we know, they are not, where's their border? Like, they don't have a southern border. I mean, aside from, yes, people who might be coming over the ocean or whatever, but it's not in the same way, like in terms of the discourse that conservatives talk about the border. Mm-hmm. And Abbott was like, what the fuck, bro? Like, you just coming to my state and grabbing people up? And I don't think it was that it was inhumane is what put Greg Abbott off. It's like, bro, you can't come into my fucking state and do this kind of shit and not tell me about it. Like now, now I'm dragged into it now. Like, we didn't really get our story straight. So now that, like, I feel like most of America has been aligned on how just terrible this, like, stupid fucking stunt was, DeSantis is now trying to paint, like, this as part of his outstanding record on helping people. He said, the office said, quote,
Florida gave them an opportunity to seek greener pastures in a sanctuary jurisdiction that offered greater resources for them. They have been provided accommodations, sustenance, clothing, and more options to succeed. That wasn't from the state. That was from the people there who responded to seeing other humans get dumped off like garbage. Right. That wasn't because of the, we say like, oh, these great sanctuary jurisdictions. So it's just this, it's wild to then again see this same playbook like white supremacists were using in the 60s with like what they call reverse freedom rides, where they're like, how about we get you out the South, black people, and we'll tell, here's a one-way bus ticket to a northern city. We'll lie to you and tell you there's all this, that, and the other, and it's not there. But guess what? You got no way back now. Mm. And it's weird, like dramas, when you say like, what's too much? Because Jared Kushner, like obviously he's a good barometer of like, what's like, what's going to be the most self-serving take to have now? And he wasn't doubling down. He's he actually used the phrase, we have to remember these are human beings. So it's clear enough to the self, you know, like the ghouls who are like always acting in self-preservation. It's like, don't fucking go that far, y'all.
That's how you know you fucked up when Jared Kushner becomes a voice of reason.
Yeah, yes. 100%. 100%. But I mean, yeah, like, and now like Charlie Crist, his opponent that's running against him in the election, you know, like this one poll has Crist now in the lead. Like it's like inverted. And other people, I think more realistically, it's the, I think it's probably just tightening. But it was 100% like many people are like, this just, that just looked like a stunt, really. And that maybe only energized like 5% of your voters, really, in a way that they're like, yep, that's it,
man. Right. Yeah. You hope that, you know, that this was like a terrible thing that leads to somebody like him getting ousted, you know what I mean, from from his seat. You know, that's kind of what the only thing you can kind of hope out of this thing. But I'm still pessimistic regardless of any of those polls or anything like that, because it just seems like, man, nothing really, like there's so many, there's far more hardcore like lovers of this whole MAGA ideal that like nothing is too far for them. So I don't ever want to get like optimistic, like, okay, is this going to be the thing that wakes people up, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't think it ever will. I think the only thing is to see that like more people are just becoming savvier. And I guess what's sad is like the bar for how savvy you are is like, can you see someone being mistreated and be like, that's not good.
Right.
That's like objectively
bad PR.
Yeah.
Right. Some people are, I think some people are at it's bad PR. Other people may have graduated to the next level of sympathy and empathy and be like, that is not good to do it to another human person, because I wouldn't want that to happen to me. But yeah, I think all of this shows though, like that, for all of the, you know, influence that they have over the movement, like it's just it should become clear to just most people that it's like they're never offering somebody like a better life, actually, like as their campaign promise. Like they're just like, we will make motherfuckers cry and live in fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are y'all good? Are y'all also upset that like you see too many people who don't look like, you know, this town used to look around?
Yep.
Okay, then we can do something about that. And we can just wallow in our inability to like grieve the fact that maybe the country is changing and it's time to embrace something different. And I think that's,
and the country is better when it's not all elderly white men running the whole fucking thing. And that's what hurts them most of all, I think, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why they're so, I think you were right on that. They're just stuck in the anger stage of coping. And that's the only stage of coping that really works with the, you know, overall Republican comportment, you know, is of of toxic masculinity, is just being mad and trying to hurt people.
Absolutely. And it takes so many, like, that's, I feel like so many people just get stuck in like any situation where you're actually like, if you're grieving anything, like anger is the one I think that feels the most like feels right to a lot of people. And then obviously depression and many other things too, but it feels like a lot of people get stuck in the angry part. And you meet people too, like who have gone through tragedies, and like that's usually the thing that when they have breakthroughs as human beings is that like, I let go of the anger.
Well, the anger is the easiest thing, right? You can you can be upset with a tragedy happening in your life, and you can go out and be cursing people out on the street or in your car or whatever, right? Like that's the easiest emotion to sort of live in and to get some sort of like instant gratification, you know, if you like own the libs, you know?
Yeah. And people have turned their whole car into, I am not over whatever I'm grieving.
right. with all my bumper stickers. It's like, yeah. fuck you, Nancy. Like,
right. what? Yo, we need to make the TDZ bumper sticker. I am not over whatever I'm grieving.
Just to,
right, exactly. But do it in the MAGA font. Like, yeah, that's truly all these people. Like, they're incapable of having an actual discussion on the merits or about policy because they're not even existing in a world where there are policy-based solutions to anything or solutions to anything. They're living, they're caught in this like anger cycle of, I don't have this, or I feel like life can be better, which many people are experiencing, but they're firmly in the column of, and I know exactly who to blame. And it's the wrong people rather than, okay, how many of us can accept that the world needs to change and then find a way to energize yourself to say, well, there's a direction I can move in rather than just turn the heat up on my ass and just fucking be a pot that boils over and eventually causes a kitchen fire.
Yeah. I am curious how the Martha's Vineyard stunt read in right-wing media. Like, I just looked on the front page of Fox News to your point, Dramos, that like it feels like, yeah, this is pretty clear cut this should be just an argument in and of itself to everybody, but front page of Fox News is not mentioning this story at all. Instead, the only DeSantis story they have, Florida Democrat County Commissioner proudly endorses DeSantis. He's done an incredible job. So, which feels like kind of a weak. Yeah, I'm sure it's hugely within their interest. Like, I think Fox News generally, when you hear people talk about what the Murdochs in charge want, they want DeSantis to be the president and Trump to be kind of out of the. So the fact that the best they can do right now, as we're this close to the midterms, is have a county commissioner endorsing Ron DeSantis is pretty. I don't know, man. I think they want it better for this Martha's Vineyard story.
They got one. One went up this morning. Florida-based Hispanic conservatives approve of DeSantis' Martha's Vineyard strategy despite media narrative. That's there one of go. The fucking main things. Okay. And they based this on a poll that they did on Fox News Digital of their own viewers.
Right.
Come on. Like,
man, it's just the media fucking cycle of like algorithmic giving you exactly what you want, you know, just like social media. And I think that's the answer as to why people aren't getting awakened, just because they keep getting inundated with things that just continue to double down on the bullshit that they
believe. Here's another one. Professor Charles Xavier proves that things can be done merely through thought.
Damn.
Which is very interesting. Wow. So we do an X-Men lore now.
Yeah.
Professor X is now giving credence to the idea that fucking Trump can declassify shit with his
documents.
Mind.
Yeah. Wow. For sure.
Love that. Okay, Fox.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. And it's not just Jeanette McCurdy who's glad their mom died. King Charles also, because now he's the king. And now that the official period of mourning has passed for Libby II, it's time to see what has happened now that the dust has settled. Just kind of quick things to touch on. His face will be on banknotes and coins starting in the middle of 2024. So get ready for that.
Does he get to choose youth? It has to be this one, yeah. Right? His current, because that's when he was named king. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Something with my regal visage upon it.
No, I would not want, I would want like my 22-year-old face or something on this, not where he's at now. He looks like someone put him in the microwave for a couple seconds.
Do you think if he was in a, if he was in a Pixar movie, he could be like, yo, actually, could you put my Pixar rendering as my fucking thing?
Shut the fuck up.
That would be wild. I'm just saying, like, if
you
had the power.
I thought you were going to go with, like, the Monsters, Inc., like,
no,
CEO.
I'm just saying, if you had, you got the clout as king. And just
I'm
to
just
be
saying,
weird,
if you're going to be on money, I would want to look good. What's the point of being rich? And being on money, like,
but I think Danny, you would feel a little gross if your face was on money, like real, like you as the person that you are. I think you would want to have fun. I know you also have a sense of humor, and I feel like you would maybe lean into the humor of it more than like, no, this is, I'm gonna look my.
I'm just saying, all of our presidents that are on money, was at the end of their life? I know for Abraham Lincoln it was, but yeah. For all the other presidents, was it the end of their life that was snapshot and put on that bill, or was it when they first, you know, like I'm just saying he. I'm just saying he doesn't look great. Okay. Yeah.
How does Andrew Jackson look the healthiest when he was one of the most evil motherfuckers, too? And like, you should look more like shit, dude. But
so do they always have to do this? I don't pay attention to the British. Do they always have to change the money when
they
not going to be on anything else anymore?
Yeah. Like the Canadian dollar, if I remember correctly, like Elizabeth looks younger on that money.
Right. And that's why like Australians are like, we want Crocodile Hunter instead, Mr. Irwin. Rather than fucking the queen on our...
That's such a waste. Do they retire, though? Like, I'm sorry, I'm fascinated by this. But that's such a waste. Like, we don't... Do they just, like, take out all those... All the ones with her face and they're not
in circulation
anymore?
I don't know if they're, like, melting them down or restamping them or... I'm not sure how it works.
Yeah, UK Zeitgang, let us know. What happens to all that? Oh, here we go. Here's an article. What happens to the banknotes featuring the revered monarch? Yeah, I think they just start circulating it out. It's kind of like when you get new 20s and shit. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you're like, oh, shit, you got one of these old 20s? Okay, drug dealer. See, you're not interacting with banks and shit.
I got a $2 bill and I thought it was so cool, but I tried to use it to buy a lottery ticket and it rejected it.
What? Oh, like in a machine?
Yeah. Yeah, machines
okay, that
don't
makes
take $2
I'm like,
bills.
This is legal tender. So
exactly. This is illegal.
Take this money. Make this money. Ain't no way you could take this from me. Anyway, shout out Bad Boy Records. This is another thing I do want to touch on. The royal family's website, just so you notice.
Let's see here.
Our homies have been demoted. Okay. So when you go to the royal family page on the royal.uk, you say, okay, here we go. Members of the royal family. You got obviously the king and them got their own shit. Then we got the Princess of Wales. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me get
Their framing is terrible on this page. Oh my God, who designed this website? Let me get it so it's actually stacking. There we go. So in order.
Here we go.
The king, the queen consort, the prince of Wales, the princess of Wales, the Earl of
Wessex.
Who is he? Okay, well, who's this other? Oh, the Countess of Wessex? Okay.
I've seen her around.
Oh, shit. Is that, who is that? Is that Hugh Jackman in Logan? Oh, no, that's Queen, the Queen's sister. Yo, her hair, tell me that doesn't look like Wolverine hair.
No, it do.
Okay,
it
do. And I'm sorry, no disrespect to the Princess Royal.
Walken.
So that's how many, vibes.
That's where else we're at. We're at the Princess Royal, we passed Logan, now we're at the Duke of Gloucester, now we got the Duchess of Gloucester.
Which one of those white men? They put eight white men up and they were like,
oh, I think it's this dude in the corner.
Where he's cut off?
Yeah, look, I told you, the framing, whoever did the UX on this, or UI, I don't know, I'm not into web design, do better. Then you get the Duchess of Gloucester. Then we get the Duke of Kent. Where the fuck is Harry and Meghan? Then we got the Princess Alexandra. Hello, where are you? Oh, shit. There we go. The Duke of Sussex. The Duchess of Sussex. And in bottom, Prince Andrew.
Duke of York.
They moved Harry and Meghan's ass all the way to the fucking bottom.
You know what's funny? This is a petty move, like blocking someone that's actually a blessing, right? Like, if someone I loathe blocks me, that's amazing. I don't have to see your face anywhere.
Right.
That,
you did the
on
work
my
for
casual
me.
Streets. What a blessing. Like, you think you're hurting me, but this is so wonderful. I feel the same way here. People who are ever going to visit this website and take a look at it, you should be thinking about them last anyway. Don't be checking in on them. Don't talk to them. You're because either you came here for Meghan and Harry, or you came for these other folks.
Right.
And most likely it's these other folks. So yeah, put them at the bottom. Get them out of everybody else's mind so they can leave
you're Harry and
Meghan, alone.
Yeah, you're like, good. I'm glad I'm at the bottom of your dusty ass website. Fucking sucks. You can't even look at that shit on mobile.
Do not want to be anywhere near you. You can't sign a document without having a hissy fit. And you're not even running this country. Like, you're not. You're just a figurehead.
Well,
you're
they say thief. This is the intentional move by racist King Grandpa. Because since they want to be all woke and shit and not, you know, keep their distance from the royal family, okay, then you can be with the worst of them, Prince Andrew.
I hate that you married
bottom.
A beautiful woman and I lost one, like an idiot. Oh, it sucks.
You might win some, but you just lost one. And finally, this one really rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know why, but Prince George, William's son, Prince William's son, is out here flexing on his classmates, saying, quote, "My father will be king, so you better watch out," end quote. This is from Royal Reporters. Now, they're saying he's just being cheeky and a young man. No, he's not. I've had motherfuckers say shit like this to me to my face as a kid. We've all been around some kids like, "My dad's a cop. My dad's a lawyer. You better shut the fuck up, man." See, and now I'm like, oh, so this prince, you see, a tough guy now, huh? Because your dad's the king, I think.
Oh my God, him and his Draco Malfoy ass. He's the epitome of like O'Doyle rules. Like, right? I know this kid. We all have dealt with this kid.
Right.
We've all dealt with like the richest kid in class.
What's weird is like we know how his dad was in high school, which is similar to this.
Is that how William was too?
Yeah, you know, he was all brolic. He was like, plus William was a teen heartthrob, lest we forget. Children, if you only know William by his looks now, go ahead and take a peek around 96 when he was your age and you would be like, holy crap. And so yeah, he was out here flaunting it, cheating on Kate back then. Like, I mean, this is not at all, he's a wealthy white kid whose family thinks they run a country. Like,
yeah,
of course he's going to have this kind of inflated ego and disconnect from, you know, regular people.
I read that shit and I go, oh, man, he's getting bullied. They bullying him for that. Like, that's like snitching. You know what I mean? Like, if you said, I don't know why, like, this was just kind of the thing. Like, the kids that would say shit like that were like the most insecure kids, obviously, because they have to be like, I'm bolstering my identity vis-a-vis my connection to this external thing, my dad or parent who is a lawyer. And then, but they would always be like, bullying you about shit. I don't know. This reminds me of somebody very specifically. I'm not going to drop names, but they would always talk about their parent doing this. I'm like, bro, I'm here right now in your face.
Now what?
Do something. Now give me your Lunchables.
Oh, man. Or they'll get the other kind of treatment, which is adored to their face, but just smoked behind their back.
Right.
You know, which is... I think it's much more painful because then the delusion is built around them so that they don't know it until they're actually face to face with it.
I mean, that's a tall order to be raised in like a royal family, and like you, literally you're like, and daddy's gonna be king. You're like in the weird TV shit I watch. Oh, that's cool. Watch me be unrelatable.
Also, like your whole entire family, like the stuff that the insults people can use against you, it's like your whole entire family's in a tabloid, like their business. Your dad cheating on your mom is like constantly
with her best friend.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They're like, oh yeah, people
again,
love your aunt.
Try guys. Yeah. Goes back. Right. You are you look like a thumb. You are a 3 and you're with a 10. Although I've heard that she's not very nice either. So I'm just a Harry and Meghan.
Who could be after this? Could you imagine? One day I'm just a girl at school who literally falls in love with a prince. Literally falls, like lived the fairy tale at a young age. Went through hell with that just from a like first love standpoint. Gets married. It's called like held up to crazy high standards. Of like, oh, it's the most beautiful bride. And it's like the first royal wedding in forever. And then everyone turns on you, including your husband. And you have no friends inside. What a miserable
existence. Wait, are you talking about Princess Diana or Prince Kay? Because these are the same stories.
They have the similar trajectories.
Wait, who are you talking about there? Kate?
I was talking about Kate, but they do have similar early life trajectories.
Yeah, I was like, wait, I hope you know that obviously, like, I feel every black and brown person is a Princess Diana fan.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, it's funny.
Princess D.
And then for Kate to be like, and then at your wedding, everyone's talking about your sister's butt. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was. Wasn't that her sister? What's the sister's
name? Pippa.
Pippa.
Pippa. What's your name?
Wasn't that like, I remember that was like the meme from that wedding was like, and Pippa, get out the way, y'all. Because
she was the next one to get married. They're like, oh, she's old news now. She's married. Who gives a fuck? Who's next?
Well, I want to keep kind of checking in with them because the Netflix, they released a teaser for the new season of The Crown, and it's all about Charles and Diana's divorce. And I guess the real royal family, they're freaking out because they are worried everyone is going to realize that Charles fucking sucks. I don't know. Maybe that's where they find out for the first time.
It will introduce an entire new generation to the scandal in a way that us simply telling them about it cannot. Like,
oh, the TikTok discourse alone, you know, bring it straight into my veins when I watch these kids lap this up and be
like, look at how they clamored to both Princess Diana movies. And we already have like Princess Diana. What do they call those fan videos
they
make?
Fan cams.
Fan cams. Yeah. Yes. Those things.
Yeah.
I love however they frame it. It'll always be like, did you know that Prince Harry's dad is actually also a king? And that he... They always do it like that.
Okay, here's the deal. They're like, this is Sofia Coppola. This is Nicolas Cage. This is Francis Ford Coppola. This is Jason Schwartzman. Here's the deal. They're all in the same family, like wild zooms. And we're like, yeah, we've been new,
but it's cute. I told my parents, I was like, yo, you guys hear this really old band named Queen? And they were like, sweet baby child.
Yeah.
Go sit down. I was a 9-year-old little girl. I was at my first run-in with Freddie Mercury. I was like, there's this band Queen. They're amazing. We're like, we're aware.
I know. That was me when Wayne's World came out. And I'm like, yo, we got to get the soundtrack for this one song. And they're like, what? And I played it. They're like, motherfucker, are you for? We have this album. I'm like, we just bought this old dusty cassette tape. Anyway, so now the family has really planned. Apparently, they have some sort of like plan to protect his reputation. I have no idea. Yeah, like, do you have a time machine to do that? That seems like an effective way. And now... The one thing that we've learned is since the queen passed away, she actually watched The Crown.
That's wild.
Like biographer or someone said that the queen had a habit of settling in to watch the Netflix series on Sundays.
What
did she think of the Olivia Colman years? What did she think about the early relationship with? Because those early, like, really, like, past, right as she's getting married and crowned, like, that shit was bananas cruel. So much stuff happened.
And and they say Charles might be too, because apparently at an event, he did like came up to a group of people and introduced himself and he said, hello, quote, this is a quote, apparently. He said, hello, nice to meet you. I'm nowhere near how they portray me on Netflix.
This is all they have to worry about, though, is the reputation. So I get
exactly. Look, that's how Vecna introduces himself at parties too. So you're in good company. So I don't know what this plan is exactly, because there's nothing really you can do except for, I don't know, just seed stories like in the paper. Mm-hmm. But like in 2020, the UK culture secretary tried to add a health warning to the show, being like, hey, this is fictional, just so y'all know. And then last November, the royal family had sought legal advice for how to deal with the show. But at the time, it would be like for a potential libel case for the queen. But now that she is, you know, she's in the ether, maybe there's no case there. But just an interesting sidebar from our writer, JM. Like, you know, like when you read all these things, like, or when you watch a like a historical drama or whatever, like, even if it is historical, they'll always be like, this is a work of fiction. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead or actual events is purely coincidental. That came about because of a lawsuit involving a royal family, specifically the exiled Russian prince who had murdered Rasputin. He sued MGM, but his wife actually sued MGM after they made a Rasputin film. Because in the film, the prince was like, yes, I admitted to killing Rasputin, but his wife's character was sexually assaulted by Rasputin in the film, which didn't happen in real life. And MGM was like, yo, you're adding this like salacious thing in there that is completely inaccurate. And when they were warned of the quote, factual discrepancy, they fired the woman who was doing the research.
Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah. And then so the prince's wife won the lawsuit. And a judge was basically like, you should add a disclaimer to the movie. And eventually all movies started doing similar things just to avoid litigation. So shit is wild and never ending. I do want to talk about one thing, though, while we're still here, because we do have time. Rather, I'm going to make time. Speaking of upcoming projects, we were just before we started recording, we saw the headline about the upcoming Blade film, which I am very, very excited about. And apparently that Mahershala Ali, who is playing Blade, Academy Award winner, is unhappy with the script. I just want to put that out here, as I know we're various fans for various reasons, but do you think the script is that bad? Like, how bad does a film have to be for the actor to be like, yo, man, this shit is fucking...
Well, they lost
good.
Their director, Bassam Tariq, a month before shooting. It's not good. The rumor is just that apparently there's two fight scenes. It's not really connected. People feel Kevin is not there enough, or whatever that means. Kevin's running an entire studio. I don't know how much he's visiting each individual project.
Right.
So I hope they figure it out. Mahershala Ali is an Oscar winner. This is his first really big project post that Oscar.
Hell yeah.
We've seen what happens to great Black Oscar winners who enter superhero movies with terrible scripts and not great direction. We don't need a Halle Berry repeat. Okay. She deserved better. Mahershala deserves better.
Yeah.
It's Blade. Like, come on. It's going to be so sick if you get it right. So I just hope they bring in a new writer, Franklin Leonard, who I know has been on the show before and created The Blacklist, said, I have no stake or influence over this process, but I would love to see what Gina Price Blythewood would do with it. She just did The Woman King, so
yeah,
maybe Marvel's listening.
Please listen.
Who's
please.
Writing the script now?
I don't know who the writer is on Blade.
I think the only thing that I would say is at this point, there are so many people to service. There's so many, and by that I mean like so many characters. No right. longer do you have just typically solo films that are completely on their own. You are, like we saw with Doctor Strange, the recent Doctor Strange, they had to infuse multiple other characters, right, in there. One was the introduction of America Chavez. And so I feel like with Blade, it's not just because of how many, how it has to also infuse with the Disney Plus shows, it just does, like all has to be canonical,
right?
That can be a lot for anyone undertaking this. To you're not typically just making a Blade movie, you're making a Blade plus an introduction to maybe the X-Men, or I don't know, like right. Crazy, they're finding crazy ways to backdoor enter in new characters to build on new Avengers or this or that, and like eventually, because all of these have to connect. And so I do think that could hurt sometimes,
yeah.
But also Marvel always available if you
hey, we'll punch this script you know, up real good for you.
I'll send you my reel. I'm repped by CAA, Kevin.
Yeah, Daily Zeitgeist, Kevin. So let me know. You know, I haven't seen a lot of your work. So in that way, my brain is not tainted. I'm bringing original ideas because I don't know about the MCU. So think about that, Kevin.
But do you know what I mean? Like with they made a joke about it in She-Hulk of how many cameos that they had to have or were going to have. And I love that they made that joke. But I do feel that it every writer that takes on something is going to have to make this connect in the MCU in multiple ways to both the Disney Plus shows and the future films.
Right.
And so it doesn't mean that every character is going to show up, but it does mean that you're servicing multiple different storylines. I don't think that Shang-Chi had to do that too much, but obviously it was setting him up to be joining the Avengers.
Right.
And so will the next Captain America film will be introducing. And so I think maybe people don't always consider that when you're taking this on, it's not just typically a solo film. It's a solo plus who else are we introducing right. to them?
Because even then it's like, because wasn't Mahershala sort of like teased out at the end of, was it Eternals?
There's just a quick glimpse of him
like
there.
Just off camera, right?
Yeah.
Right. So like it's even then it's like, okay, we're so far ahead of it. Okay, make sure he gets his little voice in there at the end. Like, woof. Nah.
Yeah, the writer Stacey Osei-Kufour, who is best known for Watchmen and Pen 15. So not like a very talented writer, obviously. I'm just curious to know like what's going on and how it's happening and why it's not working for several of like the leaders on the project.
Right.
I just want a good Blade movie. That's all I'm asking for. Like, please figure it out. Take another year or two, whatever you need to do. But like,
please give us that for all the half people out there. Blade speaks to me. Please. And just, I just need that music too. But I honestly, the complaint that there's only two fight scenes is a little worrying for a Blade film. Like, unless it's so fucking good, like that there, he's like, I know it only sounds like there's two fight scenes, but there's a lot of internal fighting that's also occurring off camera. And that is, in fact, the biggest showpiece of the film.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get.
But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.